Bonsoir. De Paris, Lee fait pour mieux pi podcast. Mais en vie hot dogs ladies. Mais bien, et c'est quoi? Elle est papillon, c'est Lee. Ah, c'est quoi? Il est nègre. Scott Simpson. Mais non, c'est piqué. Lilon, si, toi, toi, il fait pi tout, hein, c'est piquant. Lipion, fi, lonely sandwich, hein, hyper rien, c'est bé, c'est froid, et c'est bé, dit qui, hein, c'est bon, et tout pour ça, c'est, midi, c'est pour que, you look, very nice today, merci.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
Who's going to suck my shit through the hole now?
Oh, I think that was me.
Okay.
That was me.
All right.
I thought that was going to be anonymous.
No, it says your name on it. It says it right there.
Well, doesn't that guess defeats the whole purpose of a glory hole?
That's true.
Well, you
That's
know, true. Nobody says there has to be one hole. There could be one for your eyes. Maybe you could put your maybe one for your hand to go through, so you could like give him a little pat and say thanks.
Maybe you combine all the holes, make it one big one, and then just walk through and give the guy a hug.
Okay, restaurant idea.
Okay, I'm listening.
You don't even have to change the name. It's called Glory Hole, and you just this is the twist. You just put your mouth up to the hole, and they feed you through it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
So you don't know who's feeding you, and you don't know who you're feeding.
That's right. And you don't know what you're eating. You don't know whether it's food.
Is the menu limited?
Well, it's all dick themed.
Okay.
They've got spotted dick, bananas, anything cylindrical.
Frozen burrito.
This is gross, but in real life, like if I ever saw one of these things, I would be pretty grossed out. But I've never been in a place where I looked over and I saw, oh, that's a glory hole. I mean, have you been in a place where those have existed, or did you know people who are ever into that?
No, never. I mean, I don't hang out in public restrooms that often, and sure. I assume that's where they exist, unless you go to some sort of a magical theme world for them.
Right. Well, Disneyland.
It's shaped like Mickey's ears. They call it a hidden Mickey.
And the seven dwarves can look through them.
Eighth dwarf wanky. I don't think I've ever seen one. I don't think I've ever seen much two-person stuff happening in an open public restroom. I've seen like two people come out going tee-hee, but I don't think I've ever seen anything go through a hole that shouldn't have gone through a hole.
It is an amazing exercise in trust. I mean, I'm a little bit bummed that corporate retreats and ropes courses haven't incorporated that into their trust exercises.
Sure.
You're saying it's one thing to fall back in the secretary's arms. It's another thing for her to be manning a hole. Right. Did you see that video that came out not too long ago where somebody, I guess a scientist, had put a hidden camera in a men's room that was well known for, the cottaging, as they call it. And it's amazing to watch. There is some, PG-13 stuff going on, but mostly you just see the mundane, joyless nature of unsmiling men serving each other in a restroom in silence. You know what? That's sounding more and more appealing to me. I got to be honest with you.
It sounds like a monastery.
Well, they're on their knees, so. It seems like a kind of sad desperation, but I think people get pretty into it. You know what I mean? I think it's if you're doing it more than once, there must be something to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be pretty exhilarating the first time, though. I bet there's nothing joyless about it.
I bet it's like fishing. You drop your line in the water, and it's like, holy shit, there's a bass here.
Awkward cake.
Okay, Adam, I have a question for you about something that I think I read. Mm-hmm. You were a big fan of a particular kind of cereal, is that right?
That's right, Blueberry Morning.
Okay.
Is that after somebody dies? You go through a period of blueberry mourning?
No, I understand where the misunderstanding. There's no you in it. It's straight up blueberry. Like every particle of this breakfast cereal is blueberry flavored, and it just, it's an explosion of blueberry in your mouth.
First of all, after this, we're going to need to hear you say blueberry about 11 more times, because you say blueberry in a really cute way. So the cereal is delicious.
Yeah, it's just really blueberry.
And it went out of production, is that right?
At some point within the last couple of years, I stopped eating breakfast cereals regularly. And then when I got back into cereals, I looked for it. I couldn't remember the name. I went home and did an internet search, and Google had autofilled Blueberry Morning discontinued.
Ooh, oh, that's sad.
I went into Blueberry Morning, if you will.
Can I make a note to Claude to cut out my part where I made that joke first?
No, mine was a callback. Mine was a callback, and then we'll play the chant soundtrack.
So you saw that it was discontinued, but then there was a ray of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can apparently order discontinued cereals on Amazon, because people keep that stuff around and then they sell it.
So this blew me away, because when I read about your favorite breakfast cereal being discontinued, I myself became instantly afraid for all the products that I love, for which there's no substitute. And then to see that there's this ray of hope out there in the form of people who hoard the stuff and then sell it back to you, I suppose many years after the expiration date of the product, was somewhat heartening. Did you go through with the purchase?
Oh, yeah. I got real excited about it. You can order a 4-pack, you can order a 6-pack, even a 9-pack.
Hmm.
This is what was suspicious to me about the purchase, is that the packaging is different. Like, almost like it's it's the Canadian counterpart.
Like it was like it's Mexican or something?
Yeah, it might be. Like there's Mexican Coke. It might be Mexican Blueberry Morning, and there's a little bit of misspelling going on. There's no nutritional contents. There's nothing FDA approved about it.
So you got
the packaging was just a little bit altered. And yeah, I ordered a 4-pack for something reasonable, like $23, which is like, you know, in keeping with what you would pay for a box of cereal in the market today.
It's very expensive. That if you go in and buy regular non-Mexican cereal, if you don't get the berries azul, it is very expensive. I bought some for my kid, and it was staggering. It was like $11 for a box of cereal. It blew me away.
It's very expensive.
What kind of cereal do you eat in the Merlin Mann household?
Well, my wife buys that like Untenable stuff.
Good Friends.
Good Friends.
No, it's actually called Untenable stuff.
Ask your doctor if Untenable stuff is right for you. No, she eats, like, you know, that garbage that doesn't taste like anything with nothing good in it. But one time we had to make a Thomas the Train thing, so I had to buy a multi-pack. And so I ended up having some Corn Pops. Have we talked about this before? I can't remember. But I bought some Corn Pops, and I was really into it for one bowl, and then I wanted to kill myself. It's like drinking Coke now. It's like it's so sugary. But mm-hmm. I take your point, Scott. I mean, I live in fear of there's so many things that I want to hoard. And the thing is, you know, in this case, of course, you got the expiration dates, but there's some kinds of things that are just going to go away. And, you know, it's going to be like Thunderdome or some kind of Mad Max thing. If I ever want a fucking 200-watt light bulb again, I'm going to have to go see somebody in Mexico, where I guess everything's well lit.
This is your blueberry morning, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
The incandescent light bulb.
I went to a store, the Great Wall Hardware Store down the street, and I literally bought 9 200-watt bulbs, because you can't buy them anymore. All you get is those CFLs. I'm sorry. I don't want to get started on the CFLs. I'm just saying that I have a place in my life for light at this point. If I want to read a comic book, I have to bring a flashlight or a camping lantern. I can't see anything anymore. You know, I don't understand how you live with 23 watts or something. You know, but can I just say one other thing? Concord Grape Pop-Tarts. I don't know what fucking planet we live on where you can still have that strawberry holocaust, but I can't get a Concord Grape Pop-Tart. I don't even know if Mexicans have that anymore. It's hard, and I've tried. I've done the same thing. I mean, like, I don't know how far you've gone down this path, Adam. It's a secret shame. It's kind of like a breakfast glory hole, but I have seriously gone to a lot of dark places on the internet to try and find Concord Grape Pop-Tarts, and because they're so good, and they got that white frosting, like the really good frosting on top, you know, not that nonsense, like, you know, the cinnamon shit.
So that, in other words, that was much like Blueberry Morning. Concord Grape Pop-Tarts were discontinued, but you weren't able to find them.
No, I've really tried. I even like resorted to something as bad as eBay. But when you find yourself looking for expired food on eBay, you need to think about your life a little bit. I don't even buy shirts on there anymore. I think it's all hookers on eBay now. I can't prove that, but I mean, I don't think there's anybody real on eBay anymore. Craigslist and eBay, it should be just be one site where people just fuck you. It's attached right to your PayPal account.
Hands in a derby.
I've got a situation now where the stuff that I put in my hair, it's called Maximum White Creme Pomade, or maybe like something rinse pomade creme. Maximum.
I'm guessing it's definitely white.
There's definitely white in the title. And I'm very worried because I bought another container of the stuff and I brought it home and they had totally changed the chemistry of it. Whereas before it was kind of a sort of a waxy, you know, kind of like a nice stiff thing that you put a little bit on and then you're done. Now it's more watery and you need to use more of it and it's kind of grosser. It's like more like a mousse. And I'm worried because obviously they changed the formulation, and I need to find my next thing. And obviously, I live in fear every day of all brand disappearing. But I think I'm good.
So this tub of hair goo that you noticed the chemistry change in, is it? Well, first of all, did something else cue you to the change? Did the packaging design change or anything?
No, everything was exactly the same.
That's suspicious. Somebody, does it come in a tub?
It comes in a tub. There's no quote-unquote official lid on the tub. It's just sort of like a, you know, I just go outside and I find it there in the container and it's and it's ready to go.
Does it smell the same? Have you called the company? Did you try writing to the company?
Oh, that's a good idea. I could call the president. You know, I'll tell you something. Having worked at a couple of large companies, do you know what is shockingly and sadly effective? Actually writing to the CEO of that company.
That works?
It just weirdly actually works. So here's the progress of something like that. First of all, usually the people writing into the CEO are the worst people in the world because they don't care. You know, like they didn't get enough bolts in their IKEA bookcase, and so they're writing right to the CEO of IKEA. Instead of, you know, going on the website, seeing how you're supposed to do it, being polite like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So what happens then? It gets to the CEO of IKEA. And they've got a channel for dealing with this stuff, right? Like they know that they send that to the guy who packs the crates for the bookshelves. And he's got to talk to the bulk guy and make sure that everything's okay.
His name's Flergen.
It goes to Flergen. But the thing is, it doesn't go through the normal channels to Flergen. It comes to Flergen from the CEO, which means that there's an implicit priority to all that stuff. So I get messages all the time that say, well, this came from the CEO. We have to deal with it as a matter of priority because the CEO sent it to us. Mm-hmm. And it's just some dickhead who wrote to the CEO first and totally bypassed the fairness.
That's smart.
So I make it a point to just throw that shit away.
Now, bolts on a Billy bookcase, that's something that's fairly inexpensive. Yes, it's inconvenient. But if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that you could potentially ask for literally anything with the CEO. Is it like a genie? I mean, how far could we go? Are there things that are too outlandish? I mean, you know, you think about Nordstrom, right? You return snow tires to Nordstrom and they give you your money back even though you didn't buy them there. At a big company, are there kinds of like fundamental changes in the company that you could affect by writing a letter?
Could I write to your CEO and ask him for some blueberry morning cereal?
Now, Nordstrom's would do that. Nordstrom's would bring, I read a story about this, that they will actually bring it to your door, especially if you have cancer. They will bring it straight to your door and maybe bring Ashton Kutcher or something. I think a company that's very responsive like that would probably figure out a way to make that right, even though they never made it wrong.
I suppose as part of that equation, too, having cancer is a real positive, right?
Sure.
I'll bet you a lot of people who say they have cancer in a letter to the CEO don't have that much cancer.
Everybody's got a little cancer.
Well, I mean, we're all human, but I mean, like, if you've got just like a small amount of cancer, I don't think you should be throwing that around with busy people. I can't imagine taking the time. You hear those stories about, you know, people like Steve Jobs who read their email. That's just that's mind blowing to me. The people would have the time to sit there and what's his name, Flurgan? I mean, do you call Flurgan or do you send him a gurfer or something? Like, how do you reach him? Do you like drop meatballs on his desk? How do you let him know that there's the bolts are missing?
Oh, I bet the corporate internal emails at IKEA are just so politically sensitive. Like, you have to write the correct word for everything. Yeah. All the names.
All the right umlauts in all the right places.
Anytime I've done anything approaching that, ever, I felt like a complete dick like 5 seconds after I sent it.
When was the last time you wrote a letter, like an angry customer letter?
Yeah.
I have an answer to this. I want to know yours.
Oh, I'd like to hear it. My thing is I do it, I say I'm going to do it, and then I don't. So, you know, like Scott, you and the onions on the bagel, mustard sets you off. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Would you contact the guy at IKEA if, just for the sake of argument, post where to put mustard on your bagel? How would you handle that?
Boy.
Would you take it up the ladder?
I suppose I would.
Would you take that indignant tone?
I've got a mind to do that. Yes.
Oh, wow.
What happened, Adam? What did you have to escalate?
Well, okay. There's a story. It's not a long one. There was a body wash.
There was a body wash. There was a body wash. I like the fairy tale style in which you're telling the story.
There once
was a body wash.
Yeah, once there was a body wash. I was intrigued by the packaging. So I picked it up and I smell it, as is my wont with such matters. And I bought it because the packaging looked interesting and I was in the mood for a new scent. So I took it home and the next morning I, with obviously wet hands.
This isn't body wash. This is orange juice.
So with wet hands, I reached for the body wash and then I realized very quickly that it was not grippable. This was an ungrippable body wash packaging choice. Mm. I mean, the plastic was way too hard to give, if you understand my meaning. There was no friction to it. So it slipped right the fuck out of my hands and lands on, I mean, it could have landed on my toes. It didn't.
Well, what if you had had your collection of Fabergé eggs in the shower with you? Could have landed on those.
That's right.
It didn't come with a case or anything?
No, there was no case. There were no gloves. There was no friction-inducing, like a lather that I could apply to it. So what did I do? I mean, I don't think I called. There wasn't an 800 number. I don't think they do that anymore. But I found out who manufactured the product, and I wrote to them to give them my 2 cents about it. Don't laugh. I mean, it's very serious.
I know you didn't do it this way, but I just picture you getting mad. Like the,
with a towel wrapped around it.
No, just
on my head.
Still soaking wet.
And the pencil slips out of his hand.
God damn it.
I have always been an ardent fan of your products, but as I sit here dripping wet in my bathroom, that's my favorite. I love the complaint letters that begin with how much they usually love what you do.
So, Adam, you sent the letter off. Did you ever get a response?
Yeah, I think they thanked me for my letter, which was nice.
That is nice. That's
the end of that story. I went back to my regular.
Wow, you got the second worst thing you can get, you know, which is nothing. But I think I have to say, for me, the most galling thing is the fucking coupon. I hate getting the coupon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's like saying, you know, I got explosive diarrhea from your food. And they say, okay, we're sorry. Here's 20% off the next thing that'll give you diarrhea. It doesn't really address the problem.
I'm trying to figure out how all complaint letters can go through Adam's shower. Like, you know, Santa, but for disaffection. Instead of children asking for toys of Santa Claus, it's grown-ups asking for retribution from companies, but to Adam.
Oh.
Does that make sense? Is it too convoluted? I don't know.
No, I think it's not convoluted enough. I think Adam becomes a fixer. I think he becomes, we start calling him Action Line. I think he takes a week off at a time, and he just stands there, or excuse me, he probably sits there outside the CEO's office in a fucking towel.
In a towel.
Waiting for satisfaction.
Just dripping wet.
First, inexplicably, after 5 days, he's actually wetter.
He makes his own moisture.
It's true.
Mr. Blurgan Flurgan, the wet man is still here. He wants the bolts for his Billy bookcase.
No. Oh, God, that's such a good movie starring Nicolas Cage.
The soaking wet fixer.
I'm a professional voice actor.
They're discontinuing my hair product. A friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, has told me that my No, it's you get very close to this. It's like a lady and her lady time material. So you get a very close relationship with your hair product. I think all three of us in very different ways obviously have different hair challenges. And the Aveda hair stick is the only thing that I've found that makes me feel whole.
Wait, how does this work? It's a stick, you said?
Imagine like a really squishy, like if like an inexpensive deodorant had been like near the sun but not in the sun, and you put that in your hair and you just put a little bit in. You kind of spank your hands together with it and you go pop 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 right on top, and then that helps your hair not do what my hair does. And I just don't see an hour in my life where I write to Aveda. there's something about writing to Aveda that would really. You ever gone to an Aveda? I bet you've been to an Aveda. You guys care about your body.
Yeah, sure. I've been to an Aveda. I have to say, now that I've been to a Kiehl's, an Aveda doesn't seem as terrible.
Yeah, they recommend regimens for you. Turns out I didn't have any holes. I do it all right.
You are smooth all over.
Yeah. I've been to one at the airport.
That sounds extremely appealing and horrifying. boy, a lady in a lab coat. Brother.
Yeah.
I could see myself walking out of there with a lot of product.
An airport Kiehl's, that's what is that, a Kiehl's Express, a Kiehl's to go, Kiehl's around the corner. I don't know, but you know, that's not quite as comprehensive.
They just call it fast cream.
Cream on wheels,
just a squirt.
And finally,
now, Adam, with your blueberry mornings with the cereal, so you ordered some, you got it.
I got it, yeah.
It seemed a little off-brand.
It was certainly not the packaging design that I was used to. It was grippable. It showed up in a box that was unmarked. Very generic.
It was grippable. I love Adam. Adam reviews wine. How was the wine, Adam? Well, it was pretty grippable. All right, so you ate it.
No, I didn't eat it. I didn't eat it yet. But the boxes were all beat to hell. They were all wrapped in newspapers.
They were all wrapped in newspapers. That sounds like they're screwing with you. I mean, like, if you're going to order food from somebody and they wrap it in newspaper?
Yeah, very screwy. Very screwy. The cardboard looked aged. You know, you can tell when it's freshly glued. Did I just say glued? That doesn't mean anything.
That sounds like something you would hear in a cereal commercial. Barley, corn, and wheat, all freshly grewed, wrapped in newspaper, and shipped from Mexico.
What I meant that it was not freshly glued, the box, and I still haven't. I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't opened it yet.
Yeah, you didn't taste it.
Yeah, I think I'll try a flake at first, just to make sure it's not all anthraxy or something, and then I'll just pour a bowl. And you know, my normal routine is a pour a bowl, I put a little cinnamon on top, some dried blueberries, and yeah, that's right, blueberries on top of the blueberry morning, and then I'll I'll milk it up, and I'll report back then.
Milk it up. Oh, that's your catchphrase. Milk it up.
But, you know, this makes me more aware than ever of how I have absolutely no idea about how any of my food gets to anywhere. And you think about, like, you go to the grocery store and you go, oh, look at that. It looks like there's some milk with the expiration dates turned around. I'll bet those are fresher. Oh, look at that. Three days later, that's going to be a little bit fresher. You know, and it's a stamp on a piece of cardboard. I have no idea what's happened to that milk. You know, I don't think you'd have shit have dents in your cans. Doesn't that mean it could be bad? Doesn't that mean it could be, you know, when you get a dent, doesn't a dent in a can generally mean something?
Yeah, botulism. That's what they told us in science class.
Does the denting cause the botulism or vice versa? How's that work?
Not sure. It doesn't matter. Just don't eat it.
Well, hold on a second, guys. Don't you think that at this very moment there are a bunch of old guys sitting around playing canasta talking about how having holes in the knees of your jeans is crazy and gross? Mm-hmm. So,
did you say canasta?
Yeah. Or,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Balloons or whatever the game that you want to play is. My point is that maybe we've got a little bit of a lead here versus the competition. Maybe we actively distress this food. Maybe we give it a little. I'm not saying botulism, but like
a personality.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Just, you know, mix a little garbage in. And, you know, that's basically the cornflakes equivalent of an acid wash.
I see what you're saying. We age our food.
Oh.
Sort of the way the cocktail culture has gone in the last couple of years, we just sort of do like depression era food preparation.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, like a speakeasy.
Like an Upton Sinclair treatment.
Oh, let's give it the old jungle. That's what the grocery store is called.
Right.
It becomes like extreme dining.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You could take something and, you know, introduce a little bit of magic and mystery into your dining.
I think I found some rope in my peaches. Congratulations.
And maybe that's handed to you through a glory hole. Right? If you sit down and somebody hands you something and it smells a little bit like sulfur, you might have some questions. But if it comes out of a hole, you're going to go, this seems totally normal.
That's a really good point. If it comes out of a hole, your expectations are already low.
You've managed an expectation. I mean, if you're getting food from a hole, that's not a bad idea. I think people are looking for new challenges in dining, Scott. You know? Would it be cynical to call it brocavore? Brocavore dining. It's all the food's a little bit fucked up. Is that not as funny as I think? It's like locavore, but broken. Is this thing on?
Yeah, no, we got it. We got it.
Let me just make a note. Let me make a note to Claude right here that I'm not on the show anymore.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs, Ladies. Thank you.
You know, back in the day, there was a huge amount of concern about this. You know, you got the cholera on the water pump. You got lots of people eating bad food during World War II. I think there's been a lot of chance and throwing to the wind. And you know, back in the day when they gave poor people like distressed food, like from a kitchen, they would take the labels off. So they didn't even know what was in it. So they didn't even know what to complain about. You can't write a letter about can.
That's true. You can't complain to the CEO of can.
Wait a minute.
So, in other words, our grocery store is basically just an unlabeled can in a vacant lot.
Well, what about generics? Like, I've noticed at Walgreens, they have a new brand called Nice, with an exclamation point. Nice, nice.
Yeah,
but it used to be generic was deliberately as boring as possible.
Right.
Like it was either yellow or a white label with black letters on it. And it looked like something from that somebody donated into a box in Warsaw.
Which made sense, because as a retailer, you both wanted to provide something that was the cheap alternative, but you didn't want to upset your high-profile and important partners.
It's like buying a fat girl for your girlfriend, because you're giving context. If you put some obviously distressed Polish food next to some otherwise entirely palatable, delicious food, all of a sudden that value goes through the roof.
Oh, this is good. This is really good. So not only do we have our own boutique stores of distressed food, we sell this in, presumably at a premium, because this isn't really going to sell. Like, this isn't going to fly off the shelves of a Safeway. So each of these cans is very expensive, provided to the Safeway so that they can sell their other brands more quickly.
Precisely. And you know, the thing is, this is why Walgreens is always pushing generic drugs, because they have a much higher profit margin on generics. But I think you could take that even further by basically having some not deadly, but very, very dangerous drugs. You're saying literally we have beet, like spelled B-E-A-T. Like it's not even beets. It just says beet and it's dented. And it has a date from like the Kennedy administration on it. And somebody goes, holy shit, I'm going to buy these costly beets over here.
Yeah.
You're saying we bring the fat girls and all of a sudden these other ladies look pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you're saying? I think that's what you're saying.
I just love the idea of taking the prescription into the pharmacy department at our store and just getting... Just, you know, out of the glory hole comes a fist with just a handful of pills.
It just says pills.
Pills.
And they're just little stones that say pills.
You see one, there's a little groaning sound, and then one filthy, quivering hand comes through the hole with a literal fistful of pills. There's 9 pills of all different kinds.
Oh, I think it's just gravel. It's just...
And you can barely hear through the wall.
Did you want to speak to the pharmacist? Is this a new prescription?
I mean, now, what about this? Now, what if the staff varies a lot, too? Like, you could have the good pharmacist or you could have the generic pharmacist. Right? There's the good pharmacist, who's like obviously a very competent Chinese lady with a haircut. And the other person is like Boo Radley. Real taciturn.
I'm working on it!
What do I taste in blueberry morning cereal? Summers in Maine when I was a little girl. I think I had a purple tongue the whole summer long. Blueberry morning. It's one of the post-selects.